I remember going to Advent services as a young person, and there was always something magical to me. Maybe that's a bad word to use. Something wonderful about coming to church in the evening. And as a child, you know that Christmas is near when you start coming to these services. And so the anticipation for me was always quite real. And that is what we are celebrating here in Advent. We are anticipating the celebration of Christ's birth. And it's an exciting time, and we are very glad to have you here a part of this experience. And I pray and I trust that you will be blessed through the word in song and in Micah's preaching as well. Before we begin, just a couple of Christmas-related announcements. The first one is about our Christmas Eve service, which will be on Christmas Eve. And this year we are doing two of them, both a 4:30 and an 8:30. And that will be the final kind of climax of the Advent season, that fourth service there on Christmas Eve. And so we encourage you to make plans, and we hope that one of those will work out for your family. That will be a very special candlelight service. Other than that, there's also the Children's Christmas Program, which is this coming Sunday, so that will prove to be a delightful time as well. Come hear the Christmas story as presented by our children, and then if you have lunch plans, cancel them, because we have lunch here for you after the Christmas program. That will be a wonderful time. Don Berge is heading that up and leading a whole group of men in serving the church lunch. So if you would like to help, that would be great. Talk to Don. Any other announcements that we need to make here this morning before we begin? Very good. Well, let us open in prayer. Dear Lord, we delight in the old story that you became flesh, that you came down to be with us, that you are Emmanuel. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would be lifted up and glorified through all of this service. We thank you and praise you for your goodness to us. The fact that our faith was sight, that you came to this earth and you proved your love to us in your incarnation and ultimately in your death and your resurrection. I pray, Lord, that you would comfort us in those gospel truths this evening, that you would encourage us, lift us up, and bless us in this time. We pray this all in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Let us now sing some Christmas carols. We'll begin with number 5, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Thank you. Let's continue with number 26. What child is this? And then we will conclude with number 24, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Thank you. At this time, I invite you to join me in a responsive reading from Psalm 147. This can be found in the front part of your hymnal on page 137. It is Psalm 147, labeled in there as S56. If you would please rise for the reading of God's Word. I will read the regular text, and if you would respond by reading the bold. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is becoming.
The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel.
He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite.
The Lord supports the afflicted. He brings down the wicked to the ground.
Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the lyre.
Who covers the heavens with clouds? Who provides rain for the earth? Who makes grass to grow on the mountains?
He gives to the beast its food, and to the young ravens which cry.
He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He does not take pleasure in the legs of men.
The Lord favors those who fear him, those who wait for his loving kindness.
Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion.
For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your sons within you. He sends forth his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly.
He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes.
He casts forth his ice as fragments. Who can stand before his cold?
He sends forth his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters to flow.
He declares his words to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinance to Israel.
He has not dealt us with any nation, and as for his ordinances, they have not known them. Praise the Lord.
You may be seated. This time I'll invite the ushers to receive this evening's offering. As a reminder, all of the Advent offerings this year will be donated to the AFLC Youth Ministries. Sing hymn number. As we prepare to hear the word preached, let us sing hymn number 331, Away in a Manger.
What a beautiful paradox. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. To have the Lord, the God of the universe, in the form of a tiny baby asleep on the hay. And that's part of the beauty of this Christmas season. We're going to talk a little bit about that here tonight too, focusing especially on the Lord Jesus side of it, the kingly, the mighty God nature of Christ. Before I do, I was just thinking too, as a further announcement or whatever for this weekend. I'm excited. I saw for the first time today the list of children who are planning to bring special music to us on Sunday morning as a prelude, and that's a little tradition that we have here at church, and it's something that I was just reminded of again today, and I'm excited. I love that time, and I would encourage you to on Sunday to get here a little bit early if you can, as some of the children start to bring us into worship there with their instruments, with their voices, and with their musical abilities also, and what a wonderful way to celebrate this beautiful season. So come out for that on Sunday as you are able. We're in the book of Revelation here tonight, and basically, I'm going to preach on two chapters, but it's going to mostly be a cursory study or going over of them, but I want to read a few verses from each chapter, and it's in Revelation chapters 4 and 5, and I'll ask that while I read these verses, if you would please stand with me out of respect for God's word. I'm going to read from Revelation 4, verses 8 through 11, and then I'll skip ahead to Revelation 5, verses 9 through 14. Starting at Revelation 4 and beginning with verse 8. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." And then skipping down to Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. These are your words, Father in heaven. They are magnificent words filled with your majesty and power and might. And I pray, O God, that tonight that we would see you in your might as the one who holds us up and as the one who conquers and as the one who provides us with victory. And God, may that create and instill in us a heart of worship and praise and glory to your name. Bless this time, we pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated. In 1994, a man named Russell Herman died in Marion, a small town in southern Illinois. The 67-year-old was a carpenter by trade, and there wasn't a whole lot that made him stand out until his last will and testament surfaced several months after he died. In his will, according to an article in the Chicago Tribune, he left the following sums of money, and this list is actually not even the entire list. He left $2.4 billion to a small town called Cave in Rock, Illinois. another $2.4 billion, I'm saying billion, by the way, not million, to the impoverished city of East St. Louis, Illinois. Another $2.4 billion for national forests, $6 trillion to the Federal Reserve Board to pay off the national debt, another $6 trillion to the U.S. Treasury to get the country back on track, and $189 trillion for the, what he called, rehabilitation of states' rights. You can think of that whatever you want. As you might wonder, there was a problem with this, probably best explained by the fact that it appeared that the only thing that Herman actually possessed and had to his name when he died was his car, a 1983 Oldsmobile Toronado. Raise your hand if you remember those. Okay, there's a few. They were apparently good cars back in the day. I had never heard of it. If you're like me and haven't heard of those, you're probably then correct in deducing that it wasn't worth trillions of dollars. Herman's widow, however, was convinced that the will was legitimate and that her deceased husband had that money because he actually, in her mind, was a deep cover CIA agent and not a carpenter, and that he had been murdered by the government in a massive conspiracy. Now, I won't take time for all the details, but suffice to say, the whole thing turned into a circus large enough that a big city newspaper like the Chicago Tribune followed it. The man's bank was one of the victims of the circus. Another part of his will promised $2.4 billion in American gold dollars to every resident of that county where he had lived for at least 10 years. And this widow had two fax machines that she ran all day, every day, sending out her conspiracy theory to the point where the bank received dozens of affidavits. The state's attorney's office in that county received over 10,000 pieces of certified mail that had to all be signed for and opened. And it was all a lie. For all I or we know, Mr. Herman really genuinely wanted that, but he was never going to be able to follow through on his promise. Now, have you ever been promised something that never came through? Maybe not billions of dollars, okay? But I think we've all dealt with disappointment in some way. Whether it's a broken promise or an expectation that we have of someone or something. You know, one of the things that I love most about the Christian faith and about God is that, you know, we have His Word. And we believe it, and it's true, and it's filled with promises from God that are good. But God doesn't just say, just take my word for it, all right? We trust God's word. We believe His promise because of two things that I want to talk about tonight. We believe God's promise because of His nature, who He is, and we believe Him because His actions prove that He keeps His promise. And so we can trust God's promise because of who He is and because of what He does. Last week, Ryan spoke on the first name that was given to this child who was to be born from Isaiah 9:6, and that's our theme for this Advent season. Those four names. First of all, last week was Wonderful Counselor. So one of the things that I think about when I think of counsel is words, okay? Christ gives wonderful words, whether that's in the form of advice, encouragement, rebuke, comfort. Christ's words are full of wonder. They are wonderful. His word is good. It's sufficient and it's wonderful. But and maybe this sounds silly, okay? Bear with me. What makes Russell Herman's word, his will, his promise, unreliable, and this word trustworthy and powerful and effective? What makes Herman different than this child to be born, as Isaiah 9:6 says? The answer, again, as simple as it sounds, this child is also the mighty God. All right? That's the next name in Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. You see, the fact that he's Mighty God makes the fact that he's also a wonderful counselor really possible. Because yes, he is certainly a wonderful counselor, and his word is full of good and promise and hope and greatness and all that. But what distinguishes him even further now is that he is the mighty God. And that's something that nobody else can come close to achieving or being. In Revelation chapters 4 and 5, where we're going to be tonight, God graciously grants John and us a glimpse into heaven. And these two chapters provide the opening scene of this book. When the door of heaven opens, that's Revelation 4, verse 1. When the door of heaven opens, what does John see first? He sees the mighty God. Now, I didn't read all these verses in these two chapters. If you have your Bibles open and with you, you can follow along, at least in your minds tonight, as I go through this. Try to paint a picture in your head and in your heart of what John sees here. He sees a throne in heaven, it says, with one seated on that throne. The one seated on the throne looked like jasper and carnelian, it says, different colored gems. And there was a rainbow around the throne that looked like an emerald. It's beautiful. And then there were 24 other thrones surrounding that main throne with 24 elders clothed in white with golden crowns. This is a holy and majestic scene that's being put together here. Verse 5 in Revelation 4. From that main throne came flashes of lightning, it says, thunder. There were seven torches before the throne, and there was a sea of glass there, like crystal. It's hard to even know how to piece this picture together, but they are all pieces and elements that build on the majesty of the one on that throne. On each side of the throne, it says there are four living creatures full of eyes all around, one like a lion, one like an ox, one like the face of a man, and the fourth like an eagle in flight, which is a magnificent sight, isn't it? And then verse 8, we find the first of four songs sung here in heaven in these two chapters. These four creatures all day and night never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Verse 9 explains that in doing this, these four creatures are giving glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne. The one who lives forever and ever, it says, who was and is to come. See, God's eternal nature is part of what validates his word and promise, okay? And follow with me on this. People let us down and disappoint us all the time. But more than anything, we value presence, okay? C-E, not T-S, okay? Presence with a C-E, not presence with a T-S. More than anything, we value presence, being here. That's one reason why, for example, death is so hard. Okay, death separates. Our loved ones are no longer with us, and it's disappointing, to say the least. That separation hurts deeply. Think about why, for example, people run away or hide from problems or challenges, sometimes literally, right? Because they can't hold up their responsibility. They can't follow through on a promise, whatever it might be. But God is eternal. He was here. He is here. He is to come. He doesn't run away. He doesn't hide. He's here. And that validates his word. He doesn't run away and hide from broken promises or failed expectations. He doesn't disappoint. He doesn't fail us. He's here. He's eternally here. Verse 10 then, those 24 elders join in the chorus. You got those four crazy looking creatures shouting, "Holy, holy, holy is the eternal Lord." And then verse 10, these 24 elders join in the chorus. They fall down and they worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne. Okay, we're going to sing those words a little bit later. And they say, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." And so here we have praise and glory for God's awesome strength and might in creation. Our Lutheran confessions call creation one of the chief articles of our faith. This is one of the fundamental things that we believe, that God has created us and all that exists. From Psalm 139, David says, "I praise you." You know this verse perhaps. "I praise you, God. His creation is worthy of praise. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." We have a mighty God who has created all. His work is wonderful. So he's a wonderful counselor. That was last week. His word is wonderful. And his work is wonderful in creation. And this majestic scene in heaven is the display of the worship that is due this mighty God because of who he is. He is eternal and mighty, and his word is ever present, and he is ever strong. And so we can trust him and his word, his promise. He is strong enough to accomplish, to fulfill that which he promises. Russell Herrmann was not, okay? God is mighty, unlike any other. And so his word and his promise are sure. The other reason we can trust God's word and his promise is because he has proven his faithfulness. We continue the scene here in heaven. Revelation 5 now. So you've got the four creatures singing their song, and now you've got the 24 elders joining in on their song, singing, "Worthy are you, O Lord our God." And now we get to Revelation chapter 5, and the one on the throne had a scroll, it says. And on this scroll is God's revealed word. All right? Revelation 6, I think it's Revelation 6 and 7, or maybe it's even just 6, is the first six seals of this scroll. And then Revelation 7 or 8, all the way through till I think it's Revelation 19. So the bulk of the book is about this scroll and those seven seals that were opened. Okay, so most of the book of Revelation is the unfolding of what's on that scroll. It's God's revealed word. But there's a problem here in Revelation 5. Who is able to unlock God's word? Who is able to reveal God's word? Who does that? Who has the authority and control over God's word and the ability to mediate it, to bring it? Without God's revealed and authoritative word mediated, given to us, I'd cry too. That's what John does here in verse 4. There's no one able to open the scroll, and so he weeps. God's revealed word is held away. But then verse 5, one of the elders, those 24 elders, comes to John and he says, "Weep no more. Behold, look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered." And so he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And then verse 6, add this to your picture now of what John is seeing. Between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he took the scroll from the one on the throne And everybody there, those four living creatures, the 24 elders, they sang a new song now. I mean, this is Christ, the Lamb of God, claiming his victory. Can you imagine seeing that? The Lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered. He is the mighty God, and they sing now, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Friends, God made a promise to save, to redeem his people. It had to be done in such a way that only God could accomplish, and that's exactly what he sent a child to be born to do, a son to be given, who will rest the government, his people, on his shoulders. His strength, his might holds up his people. He is mighty. He is the only one who has the capacity to carry out what God's brilliant, wonderful counsel called for. One writer said it this way: "This Lamb who was slain, who now stands in victory, has nothing less than the full omnipotence of God at his command." Omnipotence. I don't think I have any confirmation students here. But that's all powerful. This slain lamb has God's omnipotence, his power at his command. What he devised, he will be able to achieve. You see, we trust God's word. Yeah, he said so, and we can trust him for that. But it's deeper than that. We trust him because of his nature, who he is, as the holy and all-powerful creator of all that is. And we trust God's word because he has proven his ability to keep his promise by sending his son to save us from our sins. The glory of this scene in heaven just keeps building here now. You've got the four creatures and the 24 elders singing their song of praise and glory. And now verse 11, look at this if you have your Bibles open. Then John says, "I look and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands." What a choir. A myriad is 10,000, okay? So picture, put this in your picture too. We're talking about a choir of 10,000s of 10,000s of thousands of thousands. I can't do the math. You're not supposed to be able to do the math. It's in the millions. A choir of millions of angels surrounding this throne and these four creatures and these 24 elders saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb. The Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and glory and honor and blessing." And if that wasn't enough, verse 13 adds, "Every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them," saying, so all creation singing together to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. There's a writer that calls this one of the greatest scenes of universal adoration anywhere recorded. This is the mighty God. Heaven broke into joyful song and celebration when the Son came back victorious. This mighty God. born in a stable. That's an odd picture, isn't it? The mighty, eternal, omnipotent, worthy, powerful God, born in a stable to a humble couple engaged to be married from a town that nobody cared about. It's beauty, the beauty of God's plan, the wonder of his counsel, the majesty, the plan and promise of God working to magnificent perfection. That's what we worship and celebrate this Christmas. The mighty God who came in the form of a baby. The wise men saw it. Why else are they bringing kingly gifts to an infant or a toddler? The shepherds saw it that night as just a minuscule section of that choir of millions of angels came to them and sang glory to God in the highest. The shepherds got a taste of it that night. Joseph and Mary did. We do too here in his word as it is revealed to us. And we join them all then in worship. And I think right now even, I know I for one underestimate the glory of what that's going to be like. Even if you're not a singer, okay? To be in that presence, to be in that choir, to be joining all creation at the throne with the Lamb standing there, victorious, singing these songs. We join those gathered in worship in heaven. Verse 14, and the four living creatures, men, and the elders fell down and worshiped. Let's do that to the best of our ability tonight, shall we? I threw a curveball at our pianist tonight. Is that okay if we do what I talked about? Okay. So we're going to do 134, Holy, 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 but we're going to sing verses 2 and 3 of that, okay? So we're going to sing verses 2 and 3 of Holy, Holy, Holy. And I picked these out because these are the words that we just talked about here. So we're going to sing them together with these wonderful angels and all these, this choir of people singing praise and glory and honor to the mighty God. So we're going to sing verses 2 and 3 of hymn number 134. And then we'll go into, after we're done with that, we'll go into hymn number 172. And I'll try to say that out loud again. And we're going to sing verses 1 and 4, the first and last verses of number 172, which is Crown Him with Many Crowns. So let's do that. We'll start here with number 134, Holy, 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 singing the second verse and the third verse. Let's stand. Thank you. And then skip ahead to 172, the first and last verses of Crown Him with Many Crowns. Let's pray. Father, Lord God Almighty, we fall on our faces tonight in worship of you. We join the choirs of angels and elders and living creatures, all of creation testifying to your greatness tonight. You are the perfect God, holy and mighty. You are the Lamb who was slain. You are worthy to receive all power and glory and wisdom and honor and blessing, because you have conquered even death. You are the ruler of eternity, and you love us. God, we praise you and we thank you and we love you for that tonight. I pray that this Christmas season you would instill in us a heart of praise and thanks and love and peace and joy for who you are and for all that you've done for us. That because of who you are and because of what you have done, God, we can fully, assuredly trust your word, your promise that says that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we are a holy priesthood, a royal nation, a people of your own possession. God, that you have loved us with an everlasting love, and that you will be faithful to the end. Thank you, O God, for that. May we be led forth in peace tonight. Hear us now as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our benediction tonight from Revelation chapter 5. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Go tonight in God's peace.